The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome to Happy Hour. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, and I alternate with Nikki Mercafori in teaching this Happy Hour class, where we focus on loving kindness and other heart qualities. I know that Nikki and I have a little bit of different styles of teaching, and I think it's great. So for those of you who come regularly, we'll kind of get a range of things. And sometimes she and I talk, and I'm like, really? You do that? And she's going to me, really? You do that? So I think it's great. So we'll find a mixture, or hopefully can find something that's supportive, and you're welcome to just leave behind those things that aren't supportive, that don't make sense or troubling or somehow just don't resonate. So for those of you who have been coming for a while, it won't be a surprise if I say that I'm going to do some love and kindness practice. And it's quite something that, in fact, this we can, as humans, we can cultivate greater loving-kindness, loving more kindness, more goodwill, more care, warmth, whichever word makes sense to you, or maybe one particular aspect of it is more evident or prevalent at different times. We don't have to leave it up to chance. We don't have to leave it up to just the right conditions, and then we'll feel this warmth in our hearts, this spaciousness, this openness. Instead, we can cultivate it and develop it with some intention and some certain amount of effort or application, a little bit of diligence, and then we'll discover that our minds, our hearts, just naturally start to become more warm, the more spacious, a little more ease. And so cultivating loving kindness shifts our experience of loving kindness, and maybe even it shifts, starts to have an impact on our worldview, on the comfort we have with ourselves, the comfort we have with some difficulties that we're having or difficult people. But it's also intended and also has the impact of cleansing our hearts and our minds of any ill will or any fear. Right? When our hearts and our minds are filled with warmth and care, loving kindness, goodwill, there won't be ill will, and there won't be fear. If love arises when there isn't fear. So what would happen if we framed this practice, if we just used different words, we framed this practice as the cultivation of non-hatred, non-ill will, the cultivation of non-fear. And somehow, that seems like it seems even bigger in my mind. There's a little bit less pressure that I, while practicing this, I'm supposed to feel love or warmth or care or anything in particular. Instead, we're just diminishing, we're softening, we're taking some of the fuel away from any of those pockets of experiences, pockets of our mind, in which there is some enmity, in which we're not as generous in our views, our thoughts. Of course, something that comes up for me, and perhaps it does for you too, living here these days, the traffic. Right? Sometimes with traffic, I find myself sometimes a little flare of like, really? You're going to do that? You know, and when somebody is doing something that I think they shouldn't be doing. But the more that we are cultivating loving kindness, we're also cultivating this absence of non-ill will. And these things, the ill will just starts to fade away. Same with fear. Fear is a big topic, and there's lots of different aspects to it, and different elements and different layers. But to be abiding in, to have access to be experiencing a sense of warmth and care, kindness and love, is not to be experiencing fear. So in this way, loving kindness practices can really enrichen our lives in so many ways, where we might be all too knowingly, unknowingly perhaps, cultivating ill will and fear just by our habits of expressing them, falling into them, and not even noticing them. It's easy to do, of course. It's natural. We need it, certain support for daily life. But if we put some effort towards, some intention towards cultivating the opposite, how might our lives unfold then? How might our lives blossom if there's less ill will, less fear, more goodwill, more openness? So the cultivation of loving kindness is the way that I'll be teaching it tonight. We're going to start where it's easiest, with the intention that we want to create the conditions in which our hearts can soften or can experience some openness and some warmth. But just because we create the conditions is no guarantee that while we're meditating there's going to be these feelings of love. That would be fantastic, and I wish I could say that, oh yes, I'll do this and we'll all feel love. But it turns out that the power of this practice does not depend on your having specific experiences during meditation. It doesn't require that you're experiencing lots of love or kindness or warmth during meditation. The power of this practice is the intention we have, the intention to cultivate it. And I'll be leading us in some phrases. And we use the phrases as a way to notice when our mind has deviated from the intention. And we just very gently, kindly bring it back with the phrases. And this is where the power is just coming back to our intention. Coming back to our intention. The more we do that, the more the mind and heart will incline that way. Whether that's in formal meditation or whether that's in our daily life off the cushion. And in the same way that I said that loving kindness practice can cleanse us from ill will and or fear, it might be, I don't know, it might be that while doing this practice, maybe ill will arises, maybe fear arises. It's part of how this practice works. Doesn't mean you're doing wrong. You're doing it wrong. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean anything except that ill will and or fear has arisen. That's all it means. You can hold it as best you can if that does happen. Maybe you can treat it with kindness. If it feels overwhelming, confusing, and unhelpful to notice it or to be with it, you can do some mindfulness of breathing, and I'll lead us through that at the beginning too. So I just want to make room that there's all kinds of experiences that we might have while we're doing this practice. But the transformative power, the beauty, doesn't require you to have any particular experience. So the way that I'm teaching it tonight, well, there's loving kindness has three aspects to it. The first is to bring to mind somebody or some being for whom we'd like to cultivate this intention for loving kindness. And as I said, we'll start where it's easy. So somebody or some being for whom there's a smile, you can't help but smile maybe outwardly or inwardly when you think of them. So maybe somebody for whom you have an uncomplicated relationship, but if not one that sometimes you feel good about them and sometimes you don't. And this might mean that it's somebody that you don't have a personal relationship with. It could be a spiritual leader or somebody else who inspires you or touches your heart. And then maybe I'll stick with this. So that there's three elements. That's the first element, just to bring to mind. We'll start where it's easy, a lovable being. The second element is to check in or feel into the sensations of the body. Allow the sensations of the body to support you, to nourish you, to also indicate maybe what's going on. Our body can tell us a lot. That being said, it's not always easy to access what's happening. So it might be that it's not clear. That's okay too. Might be a feeling of openness in the chest, warmth in the belly. A number of different ways you might feel it. Loving kindness. And then the third element are phrases that I'll be leading us through, which you can repeat after me silently in your mind. And as I said, we use these phrases just to help us stay with our intention. And then tonight we'll start with a lovable being, the easy being. And then we'll, building on that foundation, we'll do loving kindness for ourselves. For many of us, that might be the most important. Undo these habits of self-criticism that so many of us have bought into and cultivated. So if we can loosen up those habits a little bit. And then we'll end with a little bit of an equanimity practice, just to help provide some balance and some evenness. And I'll explain that as we get there. So I'll say with loving kindness practice, it's really helpful to be in a comfortable posture, a comfortable position, something that you feel like you can sustain for some time. You're welcome to shift your posture if you need to. And you're welcome, of course, there's a whole collection of cushions back there that you can use any combination that you'd like. You can bring a whole bunch to your chair and try them out if you need to. Whatever you think would be helpful. And then let's begin with three long, slow, deep breaths. We'll use these breaths as a way to connect with the body. Sometimes exaggerating movements or sensations makes it a little bit easier. There might be a little bit of relaxation that happens with the exhale. And then returning the breath to normal and trusting that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything special. Just allowing the breath to do whatever the breath does. And then to support a sense of ease and well-being and even some comfort, it can be helpful to check in with the body and see if there are some obvious areas of tension that can be softened or let go. Common places are around the eyes, the jaw, the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. The upper back and lower back. We're just checking in. Sometimes just this simple placing of awareness can allow some tension that maybe wasn't noticed before to be softened. The chest and belly. And feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel grounded, supported. You're here. Check in with the legs. And the feet. It's another place where we can feel grounded and supported. The arms and the hands. Then we'll begin with a little bit of mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. Just very simply rest your awareness on the sensations of breathing. That is, the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Just choose one area that's vivid, accessible, supportive, and just simply rest your awareness there. What does it feel like from the inside? This activity of breathing. If you find yourself lost in thought, this doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply, gently, begin again. Our minds are so used to thinking. We may be lost in thought and not aware of the sensations of breathing. Just very gently bring your awareness back. Right now, there's nowhere else to be, nothing else to do. We're just here. The sensations of breathing, the movement of breathing. What does it feel like? So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, you can always come back to this practice of if the loving kindness practice feels confusing or overwhelming or for whatever reason. And then to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind somebody for whom it's easy to feel a sense of warmth, love, care, respect, goodwill, unreservedly. If there isn't a person that comes to mind, maybe puppies, kittens, babies, things that make your heart smile. You might just check in with the body and see, even just bringing this person or this being to mind, is there a shift? Maybe there's a little corner of your experience that feels a little more spacious, a little more warm. Maybe not, too. It's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine if you don't sense a shift. Then having this being in mind to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, we can repeat the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And check in with the body and see if there is any warmth or spaciousness or a quiet sense of well-being. If so, just allow it to get as big as it would like. We're not forcing anything, we're not making anything. We're simply allowing. Might want to refresh the image or the felt sense of the lovable being. Have them in mind. And you're welcome to modify the phrases. But you can use these if they seem to be good enough, too. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a bit, so you can go at your own pace, maybe with your own words. You may want to periodically refresh the image of the lovable being. If there are feelings of well-being or warmth in the body, allowing them to be there and perhaps pervade your experience. If those feelings aren't there, it's perfectly fine, perfectly fine. And then let's build on this foundation of loving kindness that we're cultivating and expand it to include ourselves. Of course we deserve loving kindness. Of course we do. Everybody does. No exceptions. So in the same way, you can bring a felt sense of yourself or to mind, or perhaps an image of yourself to mind, either as you are now, today, or maybe a younger version of yourself, or maybe even when you were a child, whatever feels the most accessible. You can check in with the body and see if there's any shift. This recognition that we're going to shift now to sending loving kindness to ourselves. And then in the same way, we'll use the phrases just by changing the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So now we'll expand our loving kindness practice to include a little bit of equanimity practice, that is, a way to keep balanced and grounded. And when working with difficult people that we find a little bit less easy to love or to feel warmth towards. Or just a little bit of a strain. So bring to mind somebody for whom you have a just mildly troubling relationship with, not the most difficult, or not starting with the most difficult, just somebody with whom just a little bit troubling, just a little. Because of course, they deserve loving kindness too. And for this to help us stay steady when working with others, can train the heart, incline the mind towards some balance and evenness. So bringing this individual who's just a little bit irritating or annoying, just a little, bring them to mind. Maybe your body has some softness, some warmth, some care from the earlier practices we were doing. If so, allow that to support you. And we can say this phrase: I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. And just for the remaining time of our meditation, see if there's a practice that feels like the you'd like to build on or continue to cultivate. Maybe loving kindness for yourself, loving kindness for the lovable being, maybe this equanimity practice. Whichever one feels like the right one to do right now. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So with this practice, I started with a little bit, just doing a body scan. Sometimes that's helpful to kind of connect with the body, and sometimes just paying attention highlights some areas of tightness that can relax with just a little bit of attention. It's okay if they don't relax. Then mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, and loving kindness for a lovable being, and loving kindness for ourselves. And then a little bit of equanimity practice. And all of these practices are a way to, as I kind of mentioned at the beginning, is to kind of the cultivation of non-ill will, the cultivation of non-fear, kind of being present and kind of open and open to our experience and with some warmth and care. So now I'd like to encourage you to do a listening practice with each other. That is, you can get into groups of about three people, and then one person at a time will just share what was that like, this meditation period. It can be, wow, this was fantastic, I was blissed out the whole time, or what, I slept the whole time, what happened? Or it could be, that's really boring, I'm never coming back here again. Or, I don't know, it can be a whole range. It's whatever you want to say. But this is about a listening practice. So one person speaks, other two people listen. It's so important, right? We so much want to be seen and heard. We're not going to give each other advice. We're not going to talk about what the person before you has said. Instead, one person will talk for maybe 1 or 2 minutes, and the second person will talk for 1 or 2 minutes, and then the third person will talk for 1 or 2 minutes, and then we'll come back. So if you can find 2 other people, and you can start this. If you haven't seen, if you're not in a group of 3, put your hand up, and I'll help kind of make groups of 3. Okay. Thanks. So now I'd like to open it up to questions or comments. It can either be about just that small group exercise or about the guided meditation that we just did or anything you'd like to share or any questions that you have. But there's those people who are using hearing assisted devices or will appreciate you. Okay. Sorry, Joe. You don't. It's just I'm not sure if I didn't. I don't know if anybody is using the hearing assisted devices. Oh, thank you. You're gonna. I'll do this. I'll be the manager, the teacher. Yes, I turned it on.
Just wanted to say, it's so hard not to converse.
Yeah.
Not to talk when someone says something that resonates with you. It's so hard to not respond or encourage or just, it's our nature.
Yeah. So one, we can like nod our head and say, oh yeah, we could say those types of things. But it's something different to interrupt and like, oh yeah, I had that too. And then go off onto our own stories, right?
Thanks for clarifying it. I thought we were supposed to just be, like, stoic and wasn't doing a very good job.
Yeah, maybe. I'm glad you weren't doing a good job. Yeah, no, maybe I should have gave better instructions. I know, but it is a habit to want to just converse back and forth. But we kind of want to emphasize that everybody has an opportunity to speak and to say whatever they want to say and hopefully in an environment that feels safe and welcoming. And to be heard. So, thank you, Catherine. I'm sorry, that's not turned on. You have to like, no, you can just push the button there. Is it green?
I wanted to thank you for leading us this evening. And I really liked when we went into groups, and this is like the only second time I've been here when we've broken into groups. And for me, it's so interesting to hear what other people's experience was. And, you know, the listening part, but also the eye contact.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the awareness of listening and looking at them without wandering, looking around the room or something. It's really interesting. So there's a lot going on in my head and my heart as this other person is speaking. So just the awareness.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Right, it's a whole practice, right, to be with people in a kind of a wholehearted way. It's a practice, but it's one worth cultivating and practicing with. I tend to be an introvert, so these practices used to kind of scare me, right? Like, oh my gosh, we have to get in a small group, and what am I going to say? Turns out there's so many nice people, right, that otherwise you wouldn't necessarily meet or get to know, so. And it's not like everybody has to become best friends. We're just sharing a little bit, a moment, sharing something. Anything else?
So I was thinking about what you just said about the sharing, and the interesting thing that I find a lot when we do break into small groups is that I am a lot more, I'm able to be a lot more open and vulnerable in this setting, with people that I don't know. And, it's just interesting because, I find myself not being, open and vulnerable in real life. And then I come here and practice with strangers, and it's a beautiful thing, and I love it.
It is a beautiful thing. Yeah, and we start where we are. And sometimes maybe this is the only place that feels safe to share some of these things. And it's okay. That's how it is right now. So it's 7 o'clock, so I wish you all a wonderful evening, and maybe I'll see you sometime soon. Thank you.